ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन चैप्टर सिक्स टेक्स्ट 37 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। सुत उवाच एवं संभाष भगवान नारदो वासवी सुतम आमंत्र्य वीणां रणयन् ययौ यादृच्छिको मुनिः सुत उवाच एवं संभाष भगवान् नारदो वासवी सुतम् आमंत्र्य वीणां रणयन् ययौ यादृच्छिको मुनिः। Suta Goswami said, thus, addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada Muni took leave of him and, vibrating on his vina instrument, he left to wander at his free will. That's a fairly common name, isn't it, in India? Vinapani. Heard that name? That refers to? Sarasvati. It's a girl's name always, isn't it? But it could be for Narada also. Could have a boy's name, that, theoretically. Purport, every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up by the laws of nature. A conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth. And what to speak of one planet to another? But a full-fledged, free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. Continuing the same subject as yesterday, that devotional service has no material cause. Yesterday I alluded to those verses in Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna is talking about devotional service, in which the word yadricha comes up, which just means just like that. Yadricha matkatha, so somehow or other in this context, it means if somehow or other one has an attraction to hearing about Krishna. So a similar word is here, yadrichikaha. Narad Muni wanders at his will. He goes here and there. And wherever he goes, he vibrates his veena. Narad Muni bhajai veena radhika ramana name. And along with that, he chants the holy names of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has, in his purport to this verse, he's picked up particularly on this term yadrichiko. Oh, it's yadrichiko. The freedom, that the sense of freedom there. So the devotee in who's not bound by the material laws is free. Nitya Baddha and Nitya Mukta, two types of, or jivas in two states. One is the bound up state and one is the free state. So the word or the concept of freedom is given here, and also that devotional service is also free. Devotional service is independent. It may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. It's not that. By performing all the activities described in Shastra for developing devotional service, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get it, because Bhakti Devi is independent. She's not obliged to come to anyone. She will come, generally speaking, if someone is very sincere to execute devotional service. But she doesn't depend on the... Now I'll chant so many rounds every day, and for sure, by my endeavor, I will attain to the state of pure devotional service. But the whole attitude is wrong from the beginning. Thinking that by my own endeavor, I will capture bhakti. I will force the devotional service to arise in my heart. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Bhakti is independent. So in that way, not the same topic as there. Bhakti is independent means there's no material cause. There's nothing that we can do materially to attain to pure devotional service. We can pray to Krishna. These are, of course, spiritual activities. But even then, Krishna is not obliged to give us pure devotional service. That's why devotional service is one of the characteristics of pure devotional service. Six are given at the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Two characteristics, they manifest even in the beginning stages of devotional service. This Kleshagni Shubhadha. When one begins devotional service, then one is freed from various miseries of this material world, and all auspiciousness enters one's life. Bhakti gives auspiciousness. She is Shubhada. Moksha Laghutakrit Sudurlabha. So when one comes to the platform of thinking that freedom from suffering and liberation from this material world is completely insignificant, when one is experiencing bhava bhakti to such a level that one really doesn't care whether he gets born again or not out of the foolishness of a materialist who doesn't care, But out of the ecstasy of a devotee is, even though we're in the situation of pain, this whole material world is full of pain, but a devotee who experiences pleasure in devotional service to such a high degree that you don't even notice the pain, that person finds that the promise of liberation from this material world is just doesn't mean anything to him. Just like in a colony of poor people, if one of them says, "Oh, I got 10,000 rupees," and they'd be very excited, and everyone else would think, "Oh, 10,000 rupees, oh, got a lot of money," suddenly, unexpectedly. But if you go to a multi-kropati, Mukesh Ambani, for instance, and 10,000 rupees, if he scratches his nose, he'll earn much more than that in the time, without him even doing anything, just by his business is running on. He's earning 10,000 rupees. Of course, these big businessmen, to get 10,000 rupees from them, might not be so easy for a good cause. They don't give, they'll give 10 crores, not less. For them to give 10,000 is insignificant. It's just that they're not even worth, even to think about it. They don't even want to think about it. So like that, a devotee who's actually experiencing the bhav of bhakti, he's on that level, even not fully situated in praying, then he finds moksha to be most insignificant and sudurlabha. But it's very rare to come to that platform. Why is that? Well, even to come to that platform, one's practically there at the state where sandrananda visheshatma, one holds being is filled with the topmost superlative happiness, and Sri Krishna karshane cha saha, that devotional service attracts Krishna. Devotional service means to be attracted by the attraction of Krishna, the all-attractive. But if one becomes on that platform of pure devotional service up to the level of prema bhakti, then Krishna comes under the control of the devotee. So he doesn't give it very easily. So devotional service is really obtained, of course, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That is possible, and quite possible, to attain it by this process of chanting Hare Krishna. But still, even though Rupa Goswami was delineating the process of devotional service under the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he still gave that sudurlabha. It's not such an easy or cheap thing. So different characteristics of how bhakti is independent, and therefore we cannot cause by our own endeavor bhakti to the grace of bhakti to descend upon us. Another then bhakti is independent of the desire of the jivatma, what we want, what we may think. The Shikshashtaka, last verse, Ashlishava Padaratam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotu Yata Tata Vavidatatu Lampato Mat Prananatastu Saivanapara. Devotee desires Krishna will embrace me, but he might not. Krishna is independent, he's supremely independent, Swarat. So the devotee may be willing to serve, and Krishna will just reject. Yeah, that is at the level of prema bhakti, vraja bhakti. Krishna is very unpredictable. The devotee will make all arrangements to receive Krishna, and Krishna simply won't come. Or this verse says, he may even trample you underfoot. He may appear to behave very cruelly. Of course, we're discussing here from one perspective, from the philosophical perspective. Krishna actually becomes under the control of the devotees who are willing to undertake all kinds of suffering for his sake. But again, we shouldn't think that I'll undertake all kinds of suffering and then Krishna will come under my control. That way, this way of thinking is back to front. And Krishna, even with his topmost devotees, even this Asla Shava verse is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani, even with her, he behaves like that. He's not predictable. He maintains his independence. So, in one sense he's under her control, in another sense he just does whatever he likes. So, bhakti, it's not that we can dictate how Krishna wants us to do bhakti, or how Krishna will reciprocate with us. We may think that I'll perform bhakti and then we may meditate on serving Krishna in a certain way, but we may not be admitted to that. We always have to, the point here always to be understood is that we are completely subordinate and dependent upon Krishna. Even in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. Actually, we are dependent in every respect, but Krishna grants us a little independence. So we can use it or misuse it. If we misuse it, we come to this material world. But even if we use it properly, we're situated in pure devotional service, we still have some independence. It's not that our independence goes away. We still have within the liberated state, we have independence. Otherwise, we'd be a robot. Yoga Maya Shakti is there to organize everything, but exactly how everyone acts, they have their independence. Yoga Maya, she organized the Leela. Leela is like a drama, but this is a drama with a very loose script. You can never be sure exactly what anyone's going to do. And Yoga Maya has to keep on making adjustments in the scenery and everything so that it goes on. It all goes on according to Krishna's pleasure. But what exactly someone's going to do in any circumstance is unpredictable. And that is one of the special glories of Vrindavan Leela. Vaikuntha is more predictable. In Vrindavan, you can never be sure what's going to happen. Krishna is very intelligent, and he uses intelligence to make all kinds of situations to enjoy his pastimes. There's a lot of trickery going on with the whole Vrindavan Leela that Krishna wants to meet Radha, but they're not allowed to. So there's all kinds of trickery going on. Krishna tricks his mother. He goes to sleep at night, and then she goes to sleep thinking, now Krishna's sleeping nicely, I can sleep nicely. In the meantime, Krishna's out of the window and off in the forest with the gopis. So like that, there are many tricks that he's playing. And exactly how devotees react, they have some independence also, even in the spiritual world. Now, bhakti is independent of the devotees' endeavors, the aspiring devotees' endeavors. Remember, yesterday we read the verse, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirith hokshati ahaitukya prati hatai yatma supersedati. So, we're discussing how bhakti is ahaituki. But remember that this is a description of bhakti being performed within this world. Well, the discussion, the question was about dharma. There's not much discussion of dharma in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan. Then they don't have to follow rules and regulations in order to become elevated. Of course, there's the general framework is one of vanashram dharma with brahmanas and vaishyas. But the need to perform dharma to gradually rise to the platform of moksha is not there. They're already liberated. And this description is of bhakti to adhokshaja, who is beyond. He, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the range of the senses. But in the spiritual world, he's there. He's seen, touched, tasted, can taste Krishna, smelt, heard. So this is a description of bhakti in the... this description is particularly relevant to us in the material world. It was asked, the question was asked. Yeah, the questions are being asked by Suta Goswami and the points were being put by him. It was all on the background of what do people do in Kali Yuga? That was the crux of his questions. What should we do, especially in Kali Yuga? So this is all on the basis, all these descriptions are all on the basis of what do we do in the conditioned state. Therefore, we have verses like coming up. They'll be there. That the Shinvatang Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Vidyantyas Tohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhritsata. Hearing and chanting about Krishna is in itself a pious activity. That cleanses the heart of all the inauspicious things. So this description of bhakti is for persons in this world who are trying to get out of the clutches of this world and come to Krishna. So bhakti is independent of the aspiring devotee. She's not obliged, but she is not independent of Krishna's will and that of his pure devotees. Of course, the will of the pure devotees is synonymous with that of Krishna. And Krishna gives the pure devotees freedom also. Krishna gives the pure devotees freedom that they may favor someone. And then Krishna becomes obliged to favor that person because they're favored by the pure devotee. So, they may give pure devotional service to others. We'll get that's going a little bit ahead, but bhakti is not dependent on any material cause, but she's not independent of Krishna's will, which in this world he manifests through his devotees. So there is a cause in one sense, but we'll get. Yeah, and bhakti, of course, is submissive to also to Krishna's lila shakti. That Krishna, he has his pastimes in this world, and when he comes, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially, his pastime is to deliver the jivas from this world. So Bhakti Devi, she assists him. He works through his various shaktis. His Karuna Shakti, his Shakti of Mercy, that Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate, we pray. Actually, any empowered devotee, they're all the manifestation of Krishna's mercy in this world, and they bestow Krishna's mercy, particularly in the form of giving pure devotional service. So that in this way, Bhakti Devi, she works in tandem with the heart of the devotees, which is none different from Krishna. Sadhava hridayo mahyam sadhu nam hridayam tvaham maranyate na jananti nahang tebhyo managapi. The Krishna, he says that the devotees are my heart, they're in my heart, they are my heart, and I am their heart. I am in their heart. They know, because they know no one but me, and I know no one but them. So devotees, they carry Krishna within their heart. Toma hridaye shada gobinda bishra. The Narottam prays to the Vaishnava that Govinda is always manifested or is always present in your heart. So in discussing this, then how bhakti is independent, then what do we do? How can we catch? How can you catch lightning? You see, lightning is here, and then it's there. And it's gone. You can't catch lightning. What will we do? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambani, he starts off with this subject. What are the causes of acquiring bhakti? Or maybe that's the wrong term. What are the ultimate causes of devotion? He's writing for devotees in this world who want to become on the platform of pure devotional service. So, okay, how does it work? What do you do? That's the first subject there. Of course, he's building on what's been given in the Bhagavatam and Gita and the previous Acharya's commentaries. So first, he establishes that bhakti arises out of Krishna's Swarup Shakti. It's Swarup Shakti, Hladini Shakti, Radha. So, she, Bhakti Devi, she has the same qualities of the Lord. She's independent, and just like Krishna can manifest himself wherever he likes, or not manifest himself if he doesn't want to. So she also, she has that freedom. Yeah, and this word, yadrichaya matkatya, that the appearance of bhakti is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by this word, yadrichaya, which means it just, somehow or other, that's the there's no saying in particular how. This term, yadricha, we find that in Gita also, yadricha labha santushta, how whatever one gets by somehow or other, you don't know, somehow or other you get some money, somehow or other you lose some money. But one, this is the description, that one should be satisfied with whatever one gets. That's the term. So the dictionary definition for this term is spontaneously, accidentally, suddenly, fortuitously, which means by chance, or by chance. Sridhar Swami, the commentator on the Bhagavatam, he describes this as kenapyati bhagyodayena, which means kinapi, somehow or other, with the manifestation, ati bhagyo dayena, means the manifestation of great good fortune. So it means, in other words, good luck. Somehow or other, it means somehow if by good luck, someone becomes attracted to Krishna. Now, what does that mean, good luck? Is God, after all, playing dice with the universe? Does he closes his eyes and puts the roulette table around and then opens it and, oh, okay, you can have pure bhakti and you know. Then what is the meaning? Then what is the meaning of all the shastra, which states that if you do this, you get a certain result? Well, that's on the material platform. And what is all this bhakti? Is it, if it's just by good luck, then why does anyone follow vaidhi bhakti? That's what some people say. Don't do vaidhi bhakti at all. Just love Krishna directly. But with the idea that there's no use in following any rules and regulations, because it all just depends on Krishna's mercy. But of course Krishna doesn't say that, because the process of vaidhi bhakti is also given by Krishna. So what's going on here? If we say that, I got a crore of rupees, just someone came to my door and left a bag there, I looked inside and it was a crore of rupees. Oh. Or I had a crore of rupees locked up and then I went home and the safe was broken and it wasn't there. So what's the cause? Well, you could say the cause is a thief. But another way of looking at it is that, well, by some kind of karmic reaction I got a crore of rupees, and by some karmic reaction I lost it. That's one way of that's looking deeply to the causes. But then bhakti is not under karma. Bhakti is not a matter of this material world at all. Even pious activities, if we perform pious activities, if we give charity to poor people, dig wells so people can avail of water, plant trees on the road so people get shade, these are pious activities, will that help us to get bhakti? Well, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyataang yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya. Yes, if you do for many, many millions of lives, if you do pious activities, right, but na labhyate, you won't get. Even you can be very good. Be a good boy. Huh? Little boy is saying, tell him, be a good boy. Huh? So being a good boy, that won't give you back down inside. We don't have to be a good boy. Huh? But we want them to be good boys. We don't want them to be bad boys. Stealing, lying, answering back to the teacher. You should be a good boy. Huh? But being good on a material platform won't give bhakti, even if we're good for millions of lifetimes. The only price to get that feeling of spontaneous love for Krishna is the greed to get it. It's very strong desire. And then how to get that? Yadi katopi labhyate, again the same thing, somehow or other. Somehow or other, if you can get it, it's the only price. So we're left at the roulette table again. No gambling, four regulated principles. What's going on? What's going on here? Okay, here's the clue, which you already know, I hope, if you've been studying. that bhakti, this is from Brihannarada Purana, as quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. That bhakti comes about by association with devotees of Krishna. Satsanga prapyate pumbi sukritai purva sanchitai. And one can get association of devotees by previous pious activities. The same word is used, sukrita. Sukritai purva sanchita. Oh, what's going on here? Our acharyas, they're all having a big argument among each other. One writes that, well, he's taking it from the Puranas, that satsanga prapyate pumbi sukritai purva sanchita. That you get the association of devotees, which gives devotion due to previous pious activities. So that's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And then Rupa Goswami, he says, Jamma koti sukritai na labhyate. So what's going on here? And then we come to the discussion of different kinds of sukriti. Yeah, planting trees to benefit others, and we're thinking also, I'll go to the heavenly planets that I was discussing just the other day. It's a good investment. Plant trees to give shade, and as long as the tree is there and people are getting shade, you're getting pious benefit. So you go to heaven and you're on holiday and spending your money, but you're earning even while you're on holiday. Your shares are giving some return. You understand all this talk, huh? So you're getting more, you're getting it coming. Even while you're kshine punya, you're decreasing your pious stock by enjoying, you're getting more recharge. So that's a good pious activity. Similarly, digging a well or building a well, step well. That will last for hundreds of years. Have you seen in Gujarat, step well? You don't hardly go to Gujarat. Anyway, they're not everywhere. The old step wells, so they're still there, hundreds of years old. Have you seen? You've seen in Kutch, I saw in just outside Vadodara, where I was staying, there was one. They're mostly not used now. I don't think people, now everything's pumped up with the electric pump from the boring well. But for hundreds of years, people may use them. So you're getting your pious result. It goes on. And to renovate a well is also a pious activity. In this way, people are encouraged to perform. Rich people are encouraged to perform socially beneficial acts for the whole of society. But that in and of itself won't give rise to devotion. But if one serves a Vaishnava, then that gives bhaktiyunmukhi sukriti, pious effect, which is conducive to devotion, because Krishna becomes pleased when his devotee is served. So a devotee may accept the dress of a sadhu, because people think, if I serve a sadhu, I get pious results. And they will know if someone is strictly following Vedic principles, chanting the Vedas, serving brahmanas gives pious result, because the brahmanas are engaged in pious activities. So someone who serves a brahmana, feeds a brahmana, offers cloth or some cash donation to a brahmana, they get a benefit. They share in the brahmana's pious benefits, which way, another reason why brahmanas, they're not too keen to be served. Because some of their pious benefit goes to others, And also they have to be careful, because if they get too much accustomed to living comfortably in this world at the benefit of others, then their endeavor by chanting mantras and to go to the heavenly planets, we're talking about those kind of karmakandiya brahmanas, then that will become slackened. They want to live austerely in this world so they can get full benefit there. So people, if they serve a Vaishnava thinking, oh, he's a saintly person, I'll get some pious benefit, I'll become free of my sinful reactions and I'll go to the heavenly planets. They may be thinking like that, but because they're serving a Vaishnava, they get the benefit that Krishna may be pleased with them. He's not forced to be pleased with them, but generally he is. Of course, the Vaishnava, he also tries to benefit people by giving them good instruction, but don't waste your life trying to go to the heavenly planets. Go to Krishna. So even the person who plants trees for shade along the road, they become benefited, maybe even after they've died and gone to heaven. If a Vaishnav passes on the road, going here and there to preach, or maybe a householder Vaishnava who's just going for his householder work, so they also get benefits. So in this way, that prepares a person. It still is no guarantee, but it prepares a person to get the association of devotees and to receive them properly if he gets the association, because Kamsa got the association of so many great devotees. Of course, Vasudev and Devaki, his cousin sister. And then so many others, Akrura, Kritavarma, they're all devotees, but he didn't get any pious benefit because he was offensive to them. So this knowingly or unknowingly, is called agyata sukriti, unknown pious activity in relation to a Vaishnava, that is seen favorably by Krishna, even if we don't know what we're doing. Srila Prabhupada writes in this regard about the agyata sukriti, unknown pious activity of King Satyavrata, who, when he was in the river taking bath, then the system is you take water and offer back to the river as an offering. And one time he was taking his bath, he picked up the water, he saw his little fish. He was about to throw it back, and the little fish spoke to him. It's not very usual in this age, maybe in previous ages it was more common. He said, don't throw me back in the water. There are so many big fish who want to eat me. Take me and protect me. So, okay. The fish got bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually he understood that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada writes in this regard in purport, in this section of Bhagavatam. Here is an example of giving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even without knowledge. Such service is called agyata sukriti. King Satyavrata wanted to show his own mercy, not knowing that the fish was Lord Vishnu. By such unknowing devotional service, one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Service rendered to the Supreme Lord knowingly or unknowingly never goes in vain. So it's a fish. The fish has asked for protection. Anyway, king has to give protection to anyone who asks for protection. So, okay. All right, take it home, put it in a bowl. He didn't know it was Krishna. But it was. So he got the benefit. And of course, Matsya Avatar came to him to give him particular mercy. I'll read the translation of Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 35. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. The purport that's given, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word anjaha, easily, which is used in the previous verse, is explained in this verse. He states, anjaf padeno tam sakaratvang vivrinoti. By the word anjaha, the ease of performing bhakti yoga is established, and this will be elaborated in the present verse. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Himself states, pratyakshavagamang dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. The process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, and it is very joyfully and naturally performed. Srila Prabhupada comments, the process of devotional service is a very happy one. Why? Devotional service consists of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnoho. So one can give the pen. So one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized acharya. Simply by sitting one can learn, then one can eat the remnants of the food offered to God, nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says, patrang pushpang palam tauyam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what. Even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person, regardless of social position, and it will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances of this in history. Simply by tasting the tulasi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanat Kumar became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional process is very nice, and it can be executed in a happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered to Him. So, in case we're getting a little discouraged by all this talk of even following all the rules and regulations is not guaranteed. But at the same time, that's one perspective. Another perspective is very easy, it's very pleasing, and Krishna is willing to accept even very simple offerings if offered with love. But at the same time, bhakti is independent. There's no material cause. Love means that we are offering ourselves to Krishna. We can't forcibly bring Krishna under our control or force that bhakti manifests in our heart. The whole attitude of thinking like that is opposite to bhakti. But because in this material world we have that mentality, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, I am controlling my situation for my enjoyment. Okay, so now I want to have bhakti, so I will. This kind of attitude is the kind of attitude that keeps us in this material world. And if we bring that attitude into devotional service, well, we never really enter it at all. I'll plan on continuing this tomorrow morning. More to be said. As always, there's always more to be said about every topic connected with devotional service. Hare Krishna. You finish there? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.